Well, everybody, we're in the home stretch. Tell you what I'd like to cover today. First of all, just kind of step back and talk a little bit about what our customer is facing. After that, talk about our performance, and rather than recast what we did through the second quarter, I thought what I'd do is provide a little bit of relative performance versus some of our retail peers. Each and every time we get together, we have a little report card, a format that we use. We'll be using the same format that we use in all of our quarterly calls. I'll update that for you. Talk about how we plan to invest in the future, and then wrap things up with a little bit of a summary on capital spending. Try to do some of the math for you. Over the last couple of days, you've seen and heard a fairly consistent message from the management team. You've heard from Lee on how variable the economic environment is. You've heard from Eduardo and Doug and Mike about what they're doing in their business. But there's one aspect of every single presentation that is the same. It was the same for Leslie Dock when he was talking about how we're trying to manage the way the outside world views us in a reputation. At the center of everything that we do, and I've used the same picture that Leslie Dock did last night, is the customer. We're doing everything we can to meet the needs of our customer, to save them money so that they can live better. It's important in these very difficult times. We'd collected any number of pictures from operations from around the world getting ready for today's meeting. But Andy Bond, I think this is one of my favorites. You talk about taking care of the customer, making sure that we have a value. You have an assortment of pictures here from Asda. Great operation. You heard how Andy and his team are winning in that market. How is that? They always have and they always will provide a wonderful value for the customers in the United Kingdom. So, how are we doing? Well, what we've done on this next set of slides is to compare our performance to the S&P Retail Index. Okay, and you don't have to take down a lot of notes. We're going to give you a copy of this presentation and provide all the details behind what's going on here. But what you can see here, for the last 12 months, for those 28 retailers, obviously all public companies, this is publicly filed information, you can see that the operating income growth for that group of companies for the last 12 months is a negative number. They have lost ground as a group over the last 12 months. How might Walmart compare to that? You can see that we've had almost a $2 billion increase in operating income, even in the face of the environment that we see externally today. Pretty impressive results. Likewise, if you look at operating cash flow, this isn't free cash flow, we'll talk about that in a minute, but cash from operations, you can see the improvement in the last 12 months, the cash flow growth, not cash flow absolute, the cash flow growth is $5.2 billion compared to a modest increase for all 28 companies during that same time period of cash flow of $1.3 billion. This is another way to say what Eduardo did about how we're placing some distance between us and our competition. Pretty consistent message across each one of the three segments. Good, strong financial results. And I'm so proud of what's going on in the operations in terms of the working capital management. We're blessed with a wonderful, wonderful balance sheet. It's very strong. We have a AA credit. That's not something that happens overnight. But during lunch, Charles Holly and I were chatting, and we were saying to one another, how many companies could stand before you today and say that their balance sheet is stronger today than it was a year ago? We're proud of those results. Good cash position, good access to credit. Lee mentioned to you yesterday, despite the credit turmoil that you read about each and every day, good access to commercial paper at incredible rates, good, strong liquidity. And I really need to mention Charles Holly and Brett Biggs and the Treasury team that we have here. They're taking all the hard work that our operations have presented and managing it extremely, extremely well. And it's not going to surprise you, we are conservative. Before I leave this, probably ought to anticipate one of the questions that will come up a little bit later on, and that is, Tom, you've been in the market buying your own shares back. What's going on right now in the face of what's going on? Well, it's not going to surprise you at all. As things got a little bit difficult, we decided, kind of in the middle of October, a little bit before that, to step back on share repurchase, let things settle down just a little bit before we re-enter the market. It's not that we don't have confidence in our stock, and in fact, I like the value today better today than I did a month ago, but we just thought to be consistent, to be conservative, as Lee mentioned yesterday, we did step back. So just answer that question before we get there. Now, the template, the report card that we use to report to you each and every time we get together, whether it's a meeting like this or our quarterly conference call, we told you the importance of free cash flow at this meeting last year. Three major components to that free cash flow. Obviously, operating income is key over the long term to generating cash. In addition to that, you've heard messages on capital spending from each one of the segments. I'll roll those up. And working capital, payables, inventory, receivables, managing all those well. We have five rules of thumb that we use consistently across these key metrics. First of all, we like for operating income to grow faster than sales. We like for operating income to grow faster than property, plant, and equipment. We like for payables to grow faster than inventory. We like inventory to grow at half of the sales growth rate. So if sales are growing at 10%, we would like for inventory to grow at approximately 5% or less. And finally, when it comes to corporate expenses, we'd like for those expenses to grow at a slower rate than sales. Said another way, we'd like to see some leverage there. So let's just say that it was a year ago, and we were going to report to you on that report card, on that template. What you can see here is red means that we haven't met the objective. Green means that we have. At this time a year ago, one out of five metrics we were able to achieve. That was payables growing faster than inventories. Fast forward, let's look at our results today and go through them one at a time. Operating income growing faster than sales. What you can see here is kind of confusing. There's green and red in the same box. Well, Tom, what does that mean? What it means is on a reported basis, we did not grow our operating income as fast as sales. You've got to get behind those numbers and understand that during the second quarter of last year, we had 5 cents worth of good news, some one-time items that were not recurring in nature, that were included in last year's second quarter results. When you back those out and you look at the underlying operations, what you see is operating income growing at a faster rate than sales. I'm proud to tell you that a first time in a long time, operating income is growing faster than property, plant, and equipment. This is through the July time period. Payables, great story on payables, and this is a global good story. U.S., Sam's, and international, all three. Call them in, there's good news. Payables is going across, doing a really good job in operations. Inventory, what I would tell you here, three very good stories. Doug McMillan and the Sam's team have done a good job over a very long period of time of managing inventory. Over the last 2 years, Walmart U.S. has really made some incredible progress. What Bill Simon showed you yesterday was an indication that inventory was basically flat while the enterprise was growing at a reasonably rapid rate. Outstanding performance. Mike Duke in International, the last couple of quarters, we've actually reported that International has grown its inventory at half the rate of sales, and that's good, solid progress there. Finally, the last metric, whether or not we're growing our corporate spending faster than sales. And you can see whether it was last year or this year, those expenses are growing at a faster rate than sales. More than all of that increase relates to the systems initiatives that I would have shared with you last year. What's going on in merchandising? John Fleming talked about that. What's going on in finance and HR? And we'll talk about all of those here in just a minute. Because of the spending, and it's important, it's strategic spending that we're making in those areas, that is the reason why corporate spending is growing faster than sales. One of the things that I'm proud of is that we had visibility into that a fair amount of time ago. In the spring of 2007, not 2008, 2007, Lee Scott challenged the corporate team and said, I think we can do an even better job of managing corporate expenses. We know we're going to have these systems investments. Let's see what we can do to moderate the spending. The corporate team has done a good job to help offset the headwind that's been created by the systems initiatives. Now, the cornerstone of everything that we talk about is return on invested capital. And what you can see here for the last three quarters is not only the absolute rate of return, these are pre-tax returns, how are we doing and how are we doing versus last year? The bar on the left would be last year and the bar on the right, the darker bar, would be the current year performance. A couple of takeaways here. What you can see is, yes, year over year we're seeing some declines. But before you focus too much on that, I would remind you that as we exited, or at the end of the first quarter, the 19% there that you see in pre-tax returns, those are very high returns. Many would really, really love to have those kinds of results. So while we don't like to see declines, we're still proud of the good high returns that the business earns. It would have been at this meeting last year that I said, we're dedicated to turning that trend, the decline that you see here, we're dedicated to turning that around. Our goal was to flatten ROI by the end of fiscal 2009. Here we are in fiscal 2009. At the end of the second quarter, our return on invested capital was 19.3%, and that was exactly the same as the prior year. So we have reversed the trend, we've flattened ROI, and we did it ahead of the schedule that we promised to you all. Quickly, before we get into some of the numbers, the capital numbers, is the evolution of the message. If you go back a couple of years into the fall of 2006, this would have been the investor meeting where we sat down with you and we talked about kind of a new message that was evolving at Walmart, where we wanted to balance returns and growth. And in fact, as we motor forward to the spring of 2007, we told you how committed we were to returns and started to put even more meat on the bones. And then in the fall of 2007, that's when we shared with you the plan to slow down store growth, the one that we've talked about for the last day or so. Got to be this meeting last year, and that's where we put all the focus on free cash flow. So let's see how well we're doing. Once again, if you look at a trailing 12 months, we're using this so that we can compare ourselves to others. For the last 12 months, our free cash flow, this would be operating cash flow from the business, subtract capital spending, and you get free cash flow. For the last 12 months, last four quarters, a little over $11 billion in free cash flow. Let's go back to that same 28 companies that would be in the retail index. How well did the best company in the retail index, the best of the 28, how well did they do in that same four quarters? They generated $2 billion. Okay, let's go to the top five companies in that retail index. You can see that they generated a little over $7 billion in free cash flow. And finally, let's fast forward through that. Let's take the top 10. We're going to spend a lot of time on this slide. What you can see is the free cash flow that Walmart has generated is roughly equal to the cash that was generated, the free cash flow, from the top 10 of those 28 retailers in the S&P Retail Index. So what does this mean? Well, it means that we can continue to take very good care of that installed base. You heard a very consistent message across each of the three businesses of the importance, Eduardo, of remodels. We're going to continue to do that. We'll do that at Sam's and International as well. And what it means is we can make the investments in infrastructure, the merchandising systems, the finance and HR systems, we can make those investments to ensure that the enterprise can continue to prosper. So as I mentioned, you'll see us investing in the installed base in Walmart US, you'll see it in Sam's, and Mike, you'll see it across the globe, a very comprehensive strategy to ensure we're taking good care of that customer and that they have a good customer experience each and every time they come into our store or club. Yesterday, kind of transition now, talk about some of the major systems initiatives that we have underway, the areas that are creating some of that headwind in the corporate, general, and administrative spending. Yesterday, John Fleming would have shared this very same slide with you to talk about what's going on in merchandising, what we're doing from a system standpoint to complement strategically what's going on with win, play, and show inside of the Walmart U.S. business. In addition to that, we have a lot going on in finance. As you're aware, we're involved in a very major SAP implementation inside Walmart. The UK will be the first of the countries that we have that will implement SAP. They're actually testing it as we speak. Mexico will be next, Mike. And then sometime after that, we'll be entering into, with all the knowledge we have from the UK and Mexico, implementing here in the United States. But there are some important words, all the words on this slide are important, but the ones that I really wanted to highlight for you here and why these systems are important to us is that they're integrated, strategically integrated in supporting the business, they're flexible, and most important, I think, is that they're scalable. So that when we add the next country, acquisition, format, whatever, our expenses can be leveraged to a certain extent. We haven't experienced that in the past. In HR, while we don't have a separate slide for it here, the message is much the same as finance, building the infrastructure that we need to run the business going forward. So now, let's kind of summarize what the numbers look like. You'll recall at this meeting last year, we would have provided you some guidance on capital spending, on sales growth, operating income, et cetera. We actually provided 2 years worth of visibility. We would have talked about fiscal 09 and fiscal 2010. Well, today I'm going to stick my neck out. I'm going to talk about 1 year coming up. We'll go beyond that next year when we get together. But before we do that, let's talk about what our actual results were for fiscal 2008 and each of the key areas we talked about. Sales grew at about 8.6%. Operating income did not grow as fast as sales at 7.3%. We had a little under 6% growth in the square footage. Capital expenditures just under $15 billion. And you can see the gross PP&E, payables, inventory, corporate spending, and finally, ROI, closing the year at 19.5. It won't surprise you that we have an internal goal here to make sure that we meet or exceed 19.5 for the current year. So now, those were the actuals for 08. For 09 and 10, we provided a collective guidance. We said we want to see sales grow at kind of 5 to 8%, somewhere in that zone, and that we wanted operating income to grow at the same rate, et cetera. You can see how we moderated your expectations. A key set of numbers here would be capital spending. Last year, we would have guided you from $13.5 to $15.2 billion per year for fiscal 09 and fiscal 2010. So now, let's see where we stand in the current year, and after that, we'll provide a glimpse into 2010. What I can tell you is, before we get into the details, we're basically very much on track with what we told you last year. on the 5 to 8% in sales growth, it looks like it'll be about 8% in the current year. Square footage growth is at the low end of the range that we talked about. Fortunately, our comps have helped to offset that. Operating income, we would hope to grow at roughly the same rate as sales. Capital spending, we started out at that 13.5 to 15.2 this time last year. About halfway through the year, we would have moderated that a little bit. We talked about $13 to $14 billion. After that, we said it would probably be closer to the low end of that range. Today, mentioned it yesterday, we think that it'll be around $13 billion in the current fiscal year. You can see that the gross PP&E, property, plant, and equipment, growing at about 8 to 9%. And I'm very proud, again, on working capital, both in payables and in inventory, we're doing exactly what we said we would do. Payables growing faster than inventory, and inventory growing at less than half of the sales growth rate. For the reasons that I indicated, we will not meet the goal of having corporate expenses grow at a slower rate than total sales. And ROI, we're just very hopeful that we can see that getting to flat, staying flat between now and the end of the year. Now, let's talk about next fiscal year, fiscal 2010. Once again, what you're going to see here is a summary of what Eduardo, Doug, and Mike would have talked about in their presentations. But again, we'd like to see the sales growth in the 5 to 7% range, supported by 4 to 5% growth in the footprint. We'll talk about that in detail by business and in total, coming up a little bit less than we would have guided last year. Capital spending. What you're seeing here are numbers that are a little bit less than we would have guided last year, and the range a little tighter than we would have provided last year. What was 13.5 to 15.2, we're now saying 13 to 14.5. It's not going to surprise you that on PP&E, inventory, and payables, we'd like to continue to see the same good work along with ROI that we've seen in the current fiscal year. So now, to summarize again what each one of the businesses indicated during their presentations, this is the same slide, Eduardo, that you would have presented for Walmart U.S. Key takeaways here, a moderation of growth in new stores, migrating to a smaller footprint for the stores that we're adding, more efficient, smaller stores, an important investment in remodels. I think you had a good visit to the store yesterday to see why we're doing that, and then investments in distribution infrastructure that's basically the same as you've seen historically. Before I leave this one, Eduardo, the other thing that I'd like to remind everybody is if they were to take the dollars spent and the square feet that were added in the 08 and the 09 time period, it gets to be a little confusing. And why is that? It's because there were several stores that we had initially planned to open in the 08 time period, Eduardo, that were pushed back. Most of the money was spent in 08. In fact, almost all of the money was spent in 08, but the stores were opened in 09. Probably between 100 or 80 and 100 stores would fall into that category. A little bit unusual. So that influences, obviously, the store count and the capital investment during those two time periods. More of a normalized situation when you get into fiscal 2010. Moving on to Sam's, this morning, Doug would have shared with you the capital plan that calls for roughly 15 to 20 new clubs, and importantly, the same emphasis on remodeling and keeping the club experience as exciting as we talked about for Walmart U.S. And finally, in international, Mike shared with you this morning the plan that really is just a continuation, Mike, of what we've seen over the last couple of years. Again, an emphasis on remodels, but this time the message would be not so much spending in the mature markets, a little better balance between those mature markets that Mike talked about and the emerging markets. Very exciting markets with high returns. An important part of that presentation. So, how does it all add up? Well, when you go to the bottom line here, you see in the bottom right-hand corner the $13 to the $14.5 billion in capital spending that I talked about on one of the first slides. And you can also see on the very bottom line how much the retail footprint is growing each and every year. That would be the 46 million square feet, the 42 to 43 million square feet this year. And then, as all of the headlines would indicate, we're slowing our growth all the way down to 34 to 36 million square feet a year. Slowing our growth. Well, I did some homework, Lee, and that if you just take the midpoint of that range of 35 million square feet, that means that we would be adding roughly one Bed Bath & Beyond, their entire enterprise, or one Gap, all in 1 year. So we've really slowed this thing down. Okay, seriously, if you look at free cash flow, a couple of stories here. If you take the blue bars, the operating cash flow generated by the business, and the yellow bars standing next to it, which would be the capital spending that allowed, the difference between those two bars would be the free cash flow generated by the business. 2006, we told you we were starting to change that strategy. You can see 2007 and 2008. You can see how the CapEx has flattened, the spread between the two bars has expanded, and the plans that we've talked about today, assuming that we can continue to build on the operating cash flow in the enterprise, we think we have an opportunity to generate significant free cash flow with the strategy that we've shared with you here today. So if you step back and you say, what have we talked about? What have you seen for the last couple of days? First and foremost, I'm really proud of how aligned everybody that stood up here was for the last day or so. We don't have to remind people to talk about return on invested capital, about inventory efficiency, capital efficiency. It's built into the plans. It's the way the businesses are running their business out there today. So proud of that. Stepped over and I shouldn't have. We have clear objectives. That template that you see is the way we evaluate ourselves internally each and every month. There's good consistency across the businesses. Everybody understands what our objectives are. You heard from each presenter, each business, how well we are positioned right now. Times are tough. Our customers and our members need us now more than ever. Feel good about that. I mentioned early on how focused we are on the customers. Our customers, Doug, our members, we need to be taking care of them right now, and you've heard the plans that focus on that. And finally, something that started a couple of years ago, we started with the message of balancing returns and growth. Lee, I think that's going to serve us well as we motor forward for the next several years. With that, the last thing that I'd say is extremely consistent across all the messages is the overriding message of our desire to save people money so that they can live better. Now, before we go into Q&A, Charles, if it would be okay, a couple of people I'd like to thank. Pulling together a meeting like this is like really hard work, and Carol Schumacher and her team of Mike Beckstead and Mary and Marcia and others, we just need to thank you all very much for all your hard work. It's been very well organized. I guess we can answer questions now.
Yes, let's go to Q&A.